There's definitely a school that I experience in the summers that things come to my attention that during the year I'm not attentive to, and there's something that we'll get to at the end of this discussion in a few minutes, but I just want to slowly inch our way there. But there's an inyan that I definitely want to but I definitely want to discuss it, and it might not be so relevant to you right now, but it will be soon, and I would love to just think it through. We have to think some things through. So when it's not Tisha B'Av, I'm definitely, my head's in Tisha B'Av, and but I don't want to overdo Tisha B'Av. And if you came with us last night to the, I don't know, surprise type experience we had last night. So I ended up speaking about Tisha B'Av stuff there, which I wasn't really prepared to do. So I need to take a break from Tisha B'Av for now. So I want to speak about an Indian that's good to speak about. It's always worthwhile to speak about things that are just so common that we don't put enough thought into. So, okay, so Yosef Feld sponsored tonight Shmuz. Le'en Ishmas, his grandma's Yerzite, Rachel, Bas Tzvi Hirsch, Shama Shehev and Aliyah. So Shema is something that's, we try to be makud on this man, some people. Shema is a big inyan in our life. And Shema is a very popular, familiar piece that we grow up with. So I didn't have the time to really work through this. So if you know something, or if you end up saying something that could help me understand it better, I'm inviting everybody to share. But Shema Yisrael leads into V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha, and just even just the first paragraph. So it leads into V'hayu Advar Me'ela Al Levavecha, and there's a lot of vavs in there, and all the vavs in there. I think every pasuk starts out with a vav. It sounds like there's some type of progression that Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and then Ahavta, and then Hayu Advar Me'ela Al Levavecha, and then Tefillin, and then Mezuzah, and it sounds like there's some form of hemshech in these pesukim. Dainu A leads to B leads to C v'chulei. And just in the pesukim themselves, a couple things I want to ask just to address a nekuda. So the first nekuda is, since we're so familiar with this, it's hard to ask questions on things that you're very familiar with. So Shema Yisrael really is not an accurate pasuk. The accurate pasuk should be Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. This is how we verbalize our faith in Hashem, and the correct statement should be Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Shema Yisrael is a story. It's an old story. The Targum Yonasan brings the story over here, but we know the story from Sefer Bereishis, that Yaakov got a little nervous, that maybe somebody wasn't 100% pure, and then the Shmatim, they calmed him down and said, Shema Yisrael, Dad. His name was Yisrael. Dad, listen, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We all believe in God. We're all with you over here. You want to say a shot? That's a great kasha. It's a birthday kasha. That's a birthday kasha. It's a great birthday kasha. So that's a story. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. But really, what we're trying to what we're trying to verbalize is just Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Shema Yisrael doesn't need to be in the pesukim here, and it for sure doesn't need to be in our daily affirmation that Hashem is one. Shema Yisrael's shtickle extraneous, and within the Hemshech, if it is Hemshech, if I'm understanding it correctly, so when you believe Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, then V'ohavta, then you love God. And we know that's not true. We know that it doesn't work. It certainly doesn't work that smoothly. You know, once you affirm God is one, all of a sudden, madly in love. And madly in love means madly. It means obsessive. It's all you could think about all day. Hashem is everywhere you look. And we just, from experience, know that's not true. And v'ayu advar me'ela al levavecha, that the words of Torah should be on your heart. Meaning, you ask around, a regular, common, average Jew, I trust he believes Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, but not every average Jew is lovesick about the Ribbono Shel Olam, and not every average Jew is v'ayu advar me'ela al levavecha. So, maybe I'm wrong, maybe it's not a hemshech, maybe we're not doing it right. So on Tisha B'Av we talk about Sinas Chinam and Machlokas, and that's the beginning. And you could be led to believe, which you should, that these are things you should stay far away from. And I saw great people in my own life, really Gedolei Yisrael, that whenever there was machlokas, they did the opposite of Korach. They ran the opposite way. If you've ever seen tremendous people, really has to be tremendous people, because it takes a tremendous amount of discipline and you have to be very strong in your convictions to run away from machlokas, because the easy thing to do is to get involved and to fight and to battle. But you have to be extremely disciplined and very strong in your moral convictions to be able to run away from machlokas. And I've seen, I hope we've all seen people like this. But then you come to a base medrash, and in a base medrash it's called kulo machlokas. And we're almost being trained in the opposite way of the goal we're trying to reach. Because the goal Klal Yisrael is trying to reach is, you know, everybody talks about what's going to bring Mashiach, what's going to keep us away. And we all know Sinas Chinam keeps us away, Machlokas keeps us away. And then we go to Shteig, we go to a place to grow. And what exists in that place? Kol Kulo Machlokas. If there's no base medrash, if there's no Machlokas in the base medrash, it's pretty dead base medrash. Every Daf Gemara, obviously, every Rashi Tosfos, you learn Rishonim, and then you and your Chavrusa. If you and your Chavrusa, that was Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. After Reish Lakish passed away, Rabbi Yochanan, he couldn't survive. He wasn't able to function, because nobody would battle him. You need a good battle in order to survive in Klal Yisrael. So on one hand, we want to run away from Machlokas, but we're taught and we're developed and we grow up in a place that's called Kula Machlokas. So we know the Teretz. Teretz is, there's Machlokas L'Shem Shemayim. Machlokas, that's not L'Shem Shemayim. There's Hillel and Shammai. That's L'Shem Shemayim. And then it's Korach Vadaso. It's low L'Shem Shemayim. But what does that mean? So in simple, I think we could all agree. Unless you disagree, then it's a base medrash. So maybe we could disagree. But in simple, I would translate the Mishnah that Hillel and Shammai is a Machlokas seeking truth. When you're seeking MS, Machlokas is amazing. And Korach Vadaso is a Machlokas seeking to be right. They had their positions, they already determined what they believe, what they hold, and it was a Machlokas to walk out victorious. So that's Machlokas Shelo L'Shem Shemayim. You just want to prop yourself up, you want to platform your opinion. So that's Lo L'Shem Shemayim. That's going to bring terrible, terrible Magefa and terrible tragedies to Klal Yisrael. But L'Shem Shemayim, you don't have a position. L'Shem Shemayim means I'm looking to figure out my position. I want to hear all the opinions. And I want to also by myself, somebody one time told me a very nice, I think it's true, a very nice machshava. Now when you learn by yourself, often there's one opinion. When you learn with Chavrusa, there's four. Because there's what you say, and there's what he says, and there's what you thought he said, and what he thought you said. And it's always like that. And when you have two people, it multiplies, it's exponential, you have four opinions. And so you want to hear, you want to discuss, you want to be open-minded to all types of alternate opinions. When you learn a Gemara and you lock in an opinion and you're not going to stray one inch left or right, you don't have to learn a Gemara. You can't learn a Gemara like that. But if you learn a Gemara and you have Sahava Mina, your first thought, first glance, and then Yechavrusa says something, Rashi goes a different direction, you're open-minded, a couple Malchim, a few options, you start looking at the Rishonim, and it becomes a big battleground. The Rishonim are battling out, you're battling out, Yechavrusa, but it's all in an attempt to seek out the truth. So that's L'Shem Shemayim. And the Gemara says, "An Ein Adam Omer Al Divrei Torah, you'll never accomplish anything in learning, Elohim Kein, you're Nechshol. You have to be Nechshol. Nechshol means you got to make a lot of mistakes on the way to Maskanas. That's why, you know, I learned my co-counselor when I was here. I was going into Eretz Yisrael when I was a counselor here, and my co-counselor was post Shana Aleph and Shal Vim. So he came to visit me when I was Shana Aleph in January, and my shiur was learning Gemara Rashi Tosfos. It was a great shiur, the way shiurs probably should be, for Shana Aleph guys for sure. And he came in and he taught me about a fellow named the Riff. He said, if you ever turn to the back, there's a Gemara-looking fellow over there, and he looks like the Gemara, but he's really the Riff. And all he does is he writes the maskanas, the bottom lines of the Gemara. And we were learning Bava Metzia when I was Shana Aleph, And we're in Eilu Metzias, and Eilu Metzias is like Toshma, 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 Nacha Toshma. A lot of Toshmas going on. I don't have the headspace. I don't have the patience for all the Toshmas. So he told me, just look at the riff. So for a couple weeks before my Rebbe realized, I just learned riff. It was a great time. Because as far as I understood, it was just another version of the Gemara. It looked like a Gemara. My Rebbe passed by. He thought I was learning a Gemara. And as far as I'm concerned, it was a much better Gemara than the actual Gemara. Because I didn't have to like kvetch with all the back and forth. But the Gemara is nechshel. The Gemara makes a lot of mistakes. And it does it intentionally. And Nathaniel reminded me that something I said when we were in Yeshiva, I forgot, which I like a lot. Now, hopefully I'll remember it, is that the whole mahalach of the Gemara is Tashma. What's Tashma? Tashma means come and listen. Come, listen. It sounds very friendly. Come and listen. Oh, come, honey. Have some ices from the freezer. Make a shahako. Come, listen. Sounds very friendly. And what happens when they lure you in? They give you ices, they lure you into base medrash. What happens after every Tashma? Oh, rejection. Tashma means I'm gonna knock you out. So it sounds very nice. Oh, come and learn. Come sit. You know, it's nice here. It's comfortable. Take a donut. Have a cookie. I'll make you a coffee. And then, boom, whatever you say, rejection. Whoa, that's what a Gemara is. Gemara is, I'm only inviting you to hear you so I can knock you out. Yishma, they say a yeshivish joke. It's not funny. It's sad, but it's just a sad joke. That when we go up to Shemayim, Hashem's going to give you a bechina. So Hashem's going to test you. What did you learn? And like we spoke about, yeshiva guys don't know anything. But yeshiva guys, they know how to learn. They don't know information, but they know how to learn. So they're going to tell Hashem, not Hashem. You say Ishtikl Torah, I'll reject it. That's the Rishiyah Bachar knows how to do. You want me to say Ishtikl Torah? Not too much work. Prepare a chavura. I'm not doing that. But Hashem, you prepare Ishtikl Torah, and I'll prove you wrong. That's a good Yeshiva Bachar. But that's what we do. We fight. But to fight the way we're trying to describe L'Shem Shemayim, like I said, I'm trying to say, demands incredible midos. You need a lot of discipline to have midos not to take a position, to be a tashma, to come and listen, not to take a position. Once you start taking positions, you can't learn. Like, we're learning tzitzis and tefillin. I say all the time, if you're going to tell me what your tzitzis looks like, you'll never be able to learn a sugya. You can't learn a sugya like that. You got to be fully open-minded. It takes a lot of midos, good midos, and discipline not to take a position, and it takes incredibly good midos not to be right. Not to lock yourself in, to be willing to admit that you're wrong and you made a mistake, and that's great, and that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make a lot of mistakes. I used to say it a lot. I haven't said it in a while, but I used to say a lot that the best sefer you could write, if you take notes, the most beautiful sefer you could write, I encourage you to frame it in gold and hang it on your wall, each page. Laminate it in gold and hang it on your page. All the notes you took that were wrong. You like to scribble them out and rip out the page and pretend like, oh, everything I got right and I knew exactly what was going on in Shir and I understood all my whatever you're taking notes on, I understood it accurately, and I hold the opposite. Melus, anu amelim umakalbim schar on things that we don't get right. That's the pride and joy of learning. The pride and joy of learning is, you're not going to be omed al divrei Torah until you're nichshol. So the mechshelus, the mistakes, the things you were wrong on, That should bring you a lot of pride. You should be proud of that. You should have notebooks and notebooks filled with wrong pshatim. I think that's beautiful. I would love to print. Nobody would buy my sefer. It's a great sefer. It's a sefer of endless chidush in my head that were all wrong. I have so many great chidushim that are all wrong. And I hold everything I said, everything I ever said, this parts that are wrong. And I'm okay with that because I speak in a base medrash. I'm not speaking in a seminary. Mistami, you got to say emes. You gotta say MS. That's why I can't get a job in a seminary. But in yeshiva, you could say mistakes. And that's why I like yeshivas, because you could say a lot of mistakes and be corrected and battle it out. And so the Sfarno says that Shema means to be mizbeinim. That's it. Shema means to be mizbeinim. And if you believe Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, not gonna help you. I mean, it's good. Because it's a mitzvah, and it's kedai to believe Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. But if you want Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad to get to Ahavta, to get to V'hayu Advar Ma'ila Alav Avecha, if you want the Hemshech HaPsukim, you need Shema Yisrael. Just that knowledge, that affirmation alone of Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, it'll stay right there. And that's wonderful. I'm not belittling in any way, obviously. But that'll stay right there. You've accomplished Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. But if the agenda, if the goal is to get to Vahavta and to get to Alav Avecha, you need Shema Yisrael. Why? Because it means to be Mizbainen. If you sit on that and work through that, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, if you go to a lake, if you're Zochet to go to a lake, that's what you need. When we left the lake, when we got to the parking lot of the lake last night, I knew Max wasn't with us. I didn't need to ask. I knew Pashidi, because last year when we went, not for now. So I knew again, like I always say, he's the employee of the week. So because of how far he's come from last year. But I knew he wasn't there, and I also knew without looking that Benny wasn't there either. Why? Because Benny is one of the guys that I couldn't leave the gas chamber in my Donik. Nathaniel also. And we actually, I pulled you back in. Yeah, I like pulled you and Joshy, come back. How do you leave a gas chamber? But Benny couldn't leave, and I couldn't leave with him. So I knew for sure he stayed by the lake. I knew it's hard for him to leave such a place. A lake is a place of Mizbaininess. And last night, if you had an opportunity to sit and to be Mizbainin, and if you sit and you're Mizbainin, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, not just to affirm it. Thank God we affirm that. We know that. We all agree to that. But to be Mizbainin, to be Mizbainin on that. And I wish I would have said it last night, because it hit me when I was by myself over there by the lake, that I like a lot to do, and sometimes I don't know what to think about either. And that's we're all like very simplistic, very basic people, and that's okay. So sometimes when I don't know what to do, what I'll do is, and I find it extremely valuable, and it has a big impact on me. I learned it from the Gra. The Gra used to do it. Everybody does this. All Jews do this. Just take a line. It could be a pasuk. Most songs are psukim. Could be a line from a Gemara, a line from a Musar Sefer, and be mizbainin. And just chazer a line. And if it's a song, it's very easy to do because you just sing the song to yourself. And you just mizbainin on a line. And imagine if you're mizbainin, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. If you're sitting by the lake with the stars slowly appearing in the sky, and it's tranquil, it's serene, and it's such a beautiful place, not just mi b'chutz, but also mi b'fnim. You reach a beautiful place, mi b'fnim, and you're sitting there and you're mizbainin, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And you, again and again, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And then you might, after you did it enough, you might get to a place of v'yahavtes Hashem Elokecha. And if you get to a place of v'yahavtes Hashem Elokecha, you will get to a place not to learn. This is a mistake. V'yu advar me'el doesn't mean to learn. To learn is for, like you guys pushed back when I spoke the other night, to learn is for academics. Judaism and academics have nothing to do with each other. Nothing, zero, zero. If you're an academic person, there's no place in Judaism. Zero place. Hashem wants v'hayu dvar ma'ela alav avecha. It hits your emotions. Your intellectual learning should hit your emotions. Not just intellectual. Don't think when I spoke a couple of nights ago, I wasn't referring to this. I kept saying it again and again. It's avoda. Learning is avoda. Also, it's got to hit your alav avecha. But it takes a lot of hisboneness to reach such a place. And so when you're misbonen on anything, what does hisboneness demand? It demands open-mindedness. Hisboneness demands that I'm open to hearing new theories, new ideas, and I'm not locked into anything. Machlokas in a base medrash is never argumentative. This is something that I know a lot of people don't disagree with me, and I say it respectfully, and like everything else, I am wrong. I am wrong. But this is how I feel. That I know a lot of people enjoy when people like yell and scream in a base medrash at each other. I don't enjoy that. Because by me, machlokas is not argumentative. It's not argumentative. Machlokas in Jewish is curious. It's curious. When you're curious, you speak and you listen and you hear, and it takes time. Hashem made Revach Ben Parshios when he was teaching Moshe Torah, his space in between Parshios, he gave Moshe a minute to think it through. You hear what I'm saying? Yichab, you have a kasha, you have a problem. You can't be argumentative. If you're argumentative, you're not listening. You're just fighting. You're just trying to be right. That's, again, I know a lot of people disagree, and I say it respectfully. But from my vantage point, my perspective is I don't like it because it's argumentative. And I don't like when guys get to say, oh, he loves learning. Look how loud he's yelling. Come on. I don't buy it. My moms don't buy it. What does it mean to love learning? To be curious. I want to listen more than I want to talk. They say about Shimon Shkop, beautiful Maisa. Shimon Shkop, they say he gave shiur with his hands under his legs like this. He would put his hands like this, and he would never change the decibel level of his voice. It's very boring. You can fall asleep in the first 5 minutes. It's not dramatic, it's not animated, there's nothing exciting about it. And he would say that I don't want anybody to be convinced or threatened or manipulated by my hand motions or by the sound and level of raising my voice. I want you to be convinced by the arguments that I'm making. And the arguments that I'm making, they should prove themselves. And if you disagree, you'll speak, and I'll speak back in the same measured tone of voice. Because machlokas means I'm open-minded and I'm curious, not argumentative. Curious to hear new things, to process them, v'chulei. Okay. It's like I said in the beginning. In the summer, there's a schooler for me to be exposed to things that I can't say I'm not exposed to during the year, but for some reason they don't strike me as strongly during the year. There's an inyan that I was exposed to again and again and again and again a few times in the last couple of weeks, throughout this week, mamish again and again, and I said, Hashem, you want me to talk about this, don't you? And Hashem said, yeah, I want you to talk about this, because that's why I keep hitting you with the same inyan. So I want to talk about something, and l'shem discussion. Not l'shem opinion, l'shem to be mizbainin. In the last, particularly today, but today I came across a conversation with a young lady, or a young lady's family, and she's dating, and Mirz Hashem, she'll find the right guy at the right time. Amen. And I know a great guy for her. I know the perfect guy for her. But she will not go out with him. She wants a Ben Torah. I have a guy who's not a Ben Torah. He's a super Ben Torah. She wants a guy with midos. I don't have a guy with midos. I have a guy with stellar midos. She wants a guy who's going to provide. She doesn't want a guy, you know, poor going into chinuch. She wants a guy who's going to provide. This guy is going to have the best job. And she wants a guy who's going to be a good husband, a good father. There's nobody who knows how to play catch like this guy. He's the best backyard catch guy you ever met in your life. But she says, I need a guy with a hat. And he doesn't wear a hat. He doesn't wear a hat. And I don't think a 20-year-old girl is, I'll say it in both ways, to be graceful, is smart enough or stupid enough, choose your adventure, I don't think a 20-year-old girl is smart enough or stupid enough to make that demand. I think it comes from somewhere. She was taught a certain mahalach that a guy needs to wear a hat. And I want to even say a little bit stronger to make the point clear. I'm not talking about people who are moving to Lakewood. I'm talking about people who are moving from Woodmere without a hat to Woodmere with a hat. They're not going anywhere. In the same community and in the same shul and sending to the same exact school. This is comical. It is. This is extremely comical. And maybe in a dream, she was convinced by some well-meaning, I don't want to fill in the blank, by some well-meaning adult, I'll just say. I don't know what position that adult might have or those adults might have or those institutions might have. By some well-meaning people. And these well-meaning people, I say it again, I'm just saying to discuss, not to be rude. These well-meaning people don't understand people. They don't understand people. They're creating a world of machlokes and sinas chinam. Machlokes and sinas chinam means you're right. I'm right. I don't want to hear other options. This is right. And if you're from, you wear a hat. And if he doesn't wear a hat, it's a raya, or at least a chashash, it's a flag, a red flag, he's not from. That's called sinah. That's called machlokas. That's called sinas chinam. All those things lead to each other. Why? Because you're closed-minded. And why does it hurt me so much? And it does, it really hurts me. It hurts me to a deep, deep point. Because when I have these conversations in my cabin, I walk back into this room. And I'm going to say names, and forgive me for saying names, but a couple names I have no choice but to say. So I have Mismoli Gavriel. Mismoli Gavriel. And I don't think this guy's ever putting on a hat. And you know what he gave up to come back to learn Torah in Eretz Yisrael? I don't want to talk about it publicly. He could talk about it later. He gave up what the rest of the world dreams of. He gave up. And who's the first guy in the Beis Medrash? And who's working tirelessly in the Halacha Chaburis? And who doesn't miss a minute of Musar, or whatever we're learning? And who's working on every Shir? And who's working on every Limud? And on top of that, a lot more. And who told me today something I'm not going to share in public, but he said it to a few guys who were sitting on the side, that he does something when he's in YU that takes discipline that not one in 1,000 people have. And you're not going to go out with him because he doesn't wear a hat? Bring me your teacher. Bring me your teacher. I want to talk to your teacher. I want to talk about the sinna and machlokes that she's creating in the world. This naive, closed-minded, arrogant teacher that's telling you that if you want to move from Woodmere to Woodmere, he better wear a hat. Otherwise, there's a chashash. There's a suspicion. Maybe he's not from. I want to show you hats that have no shaychas to me, mean to me, Smoli Gavriel. No shaychas. No shaychas. And these hats could be extremely developed, extremely refined people. When he goes to the next world, you know what's going to walk him in? Something that he gave up a year ago that none of these hats will ever have the opportunity to give up. It's going to walk him straight into Olam Haba. He has a lot of work still to do, and he will. I'm not nervous. But that one decision he made a year ago is a decision that none of us will be zochet to. Maybe one. Maybe. But it's not as good as his. It's not as good, I don't think, as his. And the rest of us, we just want to be from and show everybody we're from and convince everybody that this is the only way to be from. And so these girls, again, I don't think that the girls at the age of 20 are smart enough or stupid enough to say such lines. But we live in a world that breeds. This is the way. I'm not going to be misbinding. I don't want to hear about a boy. I don't want to hear who he is. I don't want to hear what he's done. I don't want to hear where he's going. I'm close-minded. I'm legamri close-minded to the stupidest things that were ever created. Chitzonius. Chitzonius, a part that was never invited into Yiddishkeit. And don't be so stupid to say, what do you mean? Doesn't the chinuch write that the chitzonius affects the people? Shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. You have no shaychus to the chinuch if you're asking such dumb questions. When he's talking about the chitzonius affects the pnimius, he's talking about behaviors. He's not talking about a shirt. He's not talking about a pair of underwear. Your underwear is very religious underwear. The guy wears tzitzis on his underwear. He has tefillin wrapped around his underwear. Shkoyach, unbelievable. So far from the guy. And you're not going to date somebody who's a bigger Ben Torah than anybody who sat across you, anybody who knocked on your door, anybody who rang your bell, who invited you out to go to dinner. What happened to our people? This is Tisha B'av Torah. This brings you to tears. Tomorrow night, I'm going to sit right there. And I'm telling you, for me, very easy to cry. This is on my top 10 list of things to cry. Why? This is the destruction of Klal Yisrael. You slice up Klal Yisrael so thin, so extremely thin, that you can't see anything but the lines, the imaginary, unnecessary, extraneous lines that you created that have no bearing on reality of what we believe in. And to the degree that Nebuch, whoever convinced these poor girls that these things have importance or relevance, they're destroying the girls. You think I'm nervous about Mismoli Gavriel? I'm not nervous about this guy. You should be nervous. He's gonna take them all. You should be nervous. I'm not nervous about him. You should be nervous. I'm nervous for them. What are they gonna end up with? I'm so afraid for them. What are they gonna end up? What are they told to strive for? They're told to strive for a guy. And again, if you think for a second, I'm talking about one inyan. I get a call kimat every night, once a day, on average, once a day about shidduchim. And I'm not coming from one phone call. I'm coming from the most commonly asked questions that I get. Kulo chitzoinius. Kulo chitzoinius. And where does it come from? I'm not pointing fingers. I'm not interested in criticizing. But one place I see clearly it's coming from, people who are not willing to be mizbainin. When you're mizbainin and you're curious and you're open-minded and you want to learn about life and reality, you want to learn about people. So what ends up happening, somebody asked me the other day, how come you sit with different guys and you seem like very interested in them? Because I think people are fascinating. All people are fascinating. People have so many different ways to think, different ways to act, different. They add so much, they contribute different things. I find it fascinating. Sometimes, you know, sometimes when we have here Shabbos Mincha and the Yachad kids are here, so I see all of us, we look at, you know, they do fascinating things sometimes and you smile, you get a kick out of it. I look at everybody like that. It's like my whole day is like that. You know, I see that he's doing that. Oh, that's hysterical. And he's doing the other thing. I'm like, where did he come up with that? I find it fascinating. People are fascinating. And what do I want to do? What are we told to do? Tashma. Tashma, come listen. You think you got it right? You think you figured it out? No, come listen. Come listen. Come hear a new mahalach, a new pshat. But I don't like when a guy walks, especially a young guy, and a young guy means my age too. I wouldn't do it, and I wouldn't tell anybody younger than me, maybe older than me, maybe you could do it. But younger than me, you come in and you like, you say shitas. You say shitas. Who are you? Who are you say shitas? This is the shita. This is how you do it. This is the shita. Who are you? Your life experience is zero. Your knowledge is one out of 1,000. Your exposure to humanity is minus 1,000. You live in the smallest bubble that was ever created because you made it so small you can't even breathe. You suffocated yourself in the bubble. You only let one person in and only at the right times when he agrees with you. Only guys allowed in. Your parents probably not allowed in either because you have such shitas that your parents are petrified of you. And you have shitas walking around. A big ball shita. A big ball eitza. We believe machlekes. Machlekes, we live on machlekes. Tashma, come and listen. And then I'll reject you. But be curious, not argumentative. Curious means, tell me about the Bacher. And Nebuch, these girls, they talk about in the world the Shidduch crisis. There's Leitzanus. It's Leitzanus Shidduch crisis. Because you made up a mannequin. There's a mannequin of what you're looking for. So go marry a mannequin. Go into a store, in the storefront, grab a mannequin, put whatever dress you like on him, put a gemara in his hand, let your father give him 3 years in kolel. That's my chosen. Mazel tov. I'm so proud. This is the chosen I worked so hard for. I became the most chitzonius girl because I want the most chitzonius guy. That's hadracha they're getting. This is the hadracha they're getting. But you want to be a genuine, pure person with real she'ifas, with real drive and ambition, trying to accomplish something with your life, trying to get somewhere, still wearing plaid shirt, the add a style hoodie from a previous year. You know, you can't get a date. Nobody would date you. Why would somebody ever date a guy like that? He's mamish. He doesn't stay. He's not what we're looking for. Never. They have a crisis. They have a crisis. I know the crisis. Every guy they marry is a Nebuch guy. No she'ifas, no drive, no ambition. And I'm not talking about the yeshivas world. I want to make this very clear. Yeshivas world is a beautiful world. Yeshivas world, you're not part of the yeshivas world. You pretend. You're some, not some. My guys don't pretend. If you're connected to me, you don't pretend. Some of you maybe dream of pretending you're part of the yeshivas world. You're going to live in Woodmere. Let's be straight. You're going to live in Woodmere. You're going to live... Oh, no. I'm going to live in Passaic. Passaic's also modern Orthodox. Stop living in this dream. Passaic. I'm going to live in Passaic. And every great dad who sends to the great yeshivish or yeshiva in Passaic, he dresses like that. That's how he dresses. And you're going to be uber yeshivish to marry this unhealthy girl. Mazel tov. We're going to sing a real good, you know, at the chuppah, we're going to sing a real good im eshkachech. You forgot everything. We're not even going to get to Yerushalayim. Just im eshkachech. You forgot everything. Again, we're going to, I don't know if there's a nigun like that. I'm not good with nigunim, but just im eshkachech, you know, again and again, like you do, v'yurachamecha, 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 100 times, and im eshkachech, im eshkachech, because they forgot. They all forgot. They all forgot what's important. I'm not talking about the yeshivish world. The yeshivish world is a beautiful world. It's a beautiful world. You're not there. You're not there. You don't live there. So why are you pretending? Why are you playing make-believe? You're going to live in Woodmere. So now you want to wear a hat in Woodmere? Why do you want to wear a hat in Woodmere? Why are you doing this? For who? For show and tell? To make your mom scared? You're trying to make your community nervous? What are you doing? What are you doing? Oh, to get the shidduch. Oh, now I got you. Now I got you. You played right into their hands. To get the shidduch. You're giving up on real important values of life because they gave up on real important values of life. And they platform chitzonius and shtuyus and narishkeit, and now you also will platform all that nonsense. And you're going to say, I could do both. You're going to lose. You're going to lose. When you give value to things that have no value, it changes you. But when you only value things that have value, Mismoli Gavriel, you become a person who gives up things that are impossible to give up for Torah. Impossible. You give up things that are impossible to give up. And he gave up the impossible. And I walk into this base medrash after these phone calls, and I say to myself, I'm not teaching in seminaries. But I really hope some of you might. Because somebody's got to talk to these people. Somebody's got to have a few words with these people over there to stop spewing this garbage. Again, you want to talk to yeshivish girls. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking to our community. Yeshivish community, I'm not discussing. I'm talking our community. This, Woodmere, Teaneck, Five Towns. You want to go Springfield? We'll go Springfield. I'm talking about Morasha, Moshava, Lavi, all these places. Misora, this is our community. You want to run away from the community? So what are you doing here? You know, and if you're listening to the shmooze, why are you listening to the shmooze if you ran away from the community? Go find a different shmooze to listen to. This is for this community. And in this community, wake up a little bit. Wake up. Be mizboinen. Be mizboinen of what matters. Be mizboinen of what matters. And if you're mizboinen of what matters, you'll understand that tashma, there's so much to learn. Don't lock yourself into a position. It's a lot to learn. Okay, before I end, just a big shkayach. Great to see all the guests who came. I'm sorry. I know you asked me to stall, but I couldn't. I had too much fire burning. But great to see you guys. We'll talk afterwards. Shkayach.